Lesson 3, Housing Construction and Maintenance. This lesson aims to cover mainly learning objective 1 of this course, to understand how construction and facilities management decisions and activities affect mass displacement impacts on the built environment and enhance or constrain integration and social cohesion. It also partly covers learning objective 2, to communicate and discuss issues using appropriate terminology relating to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment, and also partly covers learning objective 3, to appreciate the policy and legal frameworks that apply to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment. Principle 18 of the Guiding Principles on Internal Displacement states that all internally displaced persons have the right to an adequate standard of living, and that, at the minimum, regardless of the circumstances and without discrimination, competent authorities shall provide internally displaced persons with and ensure safe access to basic shelter and housing. Similarly, the Executive Committee of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, in conclusion number 101 on legal safety issues in the context of voluntary repatriation of refugees, encourages countries of origin to provide homeless returning refugees with access to land and/or adequate housing comparable to local standards. This lesson commences by stating the rights of all displaced persons, both internally and internationally displaced, to adequate standards of living. All competent authorities and governments of countries of asylum shall, at the minimum, provide displaced persons with and ensure safe access to basic shelter and housing regardless of the circumstances and without discrimination. The increased rate of mass displacement occurring globally for different reasons such as regional conflicts, civil wars, autocratic regimes, economic and environmental challenges, and natural disasters cannot be overemphasized. According to the United Nations Economic Commission for Europe 2021 report, in 2017 there were approximately 258 million migrants around the world, which represents 3.4% of the global population. Further, the lesson outlines the challenges caused by mass displacement to the displaced persons, such as insufficient or lack of housing or housing alternatives, caused by damage to the houses of displaced families, substandard housing, migrants lacking information about housing alternatives, bureaucratic procedures, and regulations in the housing sphere. The rights of tenants, language constraints which make the task of gaining housing harder, forced evictions and homelessness for irregular migrants and refugees, poor and lack of adequate infrastructure such as transport, basic communications networks, water, energy, power stations, waste management, public spaces, schools, hospitals, banks, etc. are all important challenges. It is worthy of mention that there is typically a lack of direct participation or input from most construction professionals in preventing or alleviating mass displacement, leaving these roles in the hands of non-professionals and advocating the need for them to get more involved. Additionally, this lesson presents several slides on different approaches to housing in the context of mass displacement and describes each in detail. The owner-driven housing approach is a recovery method which aims to work with the future occupiers of the houses, empowering the affected families and persons within the community to carry out construction independently. Hence, these are also referred to as community-based or self-help projects. The three fundamental requirements of owner-driven housing are 1. A participatory process of decision-making which allows the displaced families or persons who would be future owners to be involved and to take ownership of their rehabilitation. 2. Appropriate technical support which is given to the displaced by the project or program team. And 3. Appropriate financial assistance supplied by the sponsoring institution. These principles are explained in the lesson together with a rundown of other principles of the owner-driven housing approach. An example of successful implementation of owner-driven housing in Sri Lanka after the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami is presented. The second approach is the donor-driven housing approach. This approach of reconstruction is completely handled by the donor agencies, humanitarian organizations. There is little or no involvement of the affected families who would become owners of the houses. Houses are designed by the donors or their consultants and built by their chosen contractors. All affected families are entitled to a house built by a donor agency in accordance with laid-down eligibility criteria. The donor provides all common infrastructure for the new settlement. Although this approach has been presumed to be the quickest and most effective way to rebuild houses after a disaster, research has found limitations in the approach, and it may lead to housing that does not respond to the needs of beneficiaries. A case of the Canopy Housing Project in Leeds in the United Kingdom is explored. The third and last approach considered is the contractor-led housing approach. In this approach, the home improvement project is entrusted to professional construction companies, and home design, building materials, and expertise are usually transferred without engaging the affected displaced persons. The contractor-led approach is generally chosen because it is considered the easiest and quickest way to secure a home and restore normalcy after a disaster. However, it has been criticized by professionals such as architect Rohit Jigyasu, based on Maharashtra's pioneers, expressing concern about Gujarat's post-earthquake recovery policies, thus reiterating the need for involvement of construction professionals as stakeholders and not hired consultants in the construction and maintenance of recovery housing in the mass displacement context. The lesson also addresses the three major categories of housing towards recovery from mass displacement. These are emergency housing, temporary housing, and permanent housing. Emergency housing is housing at the first stage of recovery from mass displacement. These are temporary shelter facilities deployed to the displaced on a short-term basis by organizations such as the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, in conjunction with governments in response to acute emergency situations. They come in the form of tents, tent-like structures built with other simple construction materials such as wood, plastic sheeting, tarpaulins, to mention a few. These are erected in public spaces in addition to public buildings, which have been adapted for use as shelters in response to the displacement. Temporary housing consists of mostly prefabricated housing units installed temporarily, often distributed for longer-term periods such as 6 months to 3 years, to allow displaced people affected by mass displacement to return to their normal daily activities. Some temporary housing serves as transitional housing, which is commonly relocated from a temporary site to a permanent location, where they are upgraded into part of a permanent house by reselling, reusing, or recycling for use as parts of permanent housing. Permanent housing is housing which has either been newly built or has been upgraded from a transitional shelter, progressive shelter, or a core shelter. Such houses should be constructed to be resistant and resilient to hazards and disasters to avoid further displacements in the future. Hence, they are more permanent than emergency housing and temporary housing. The next section of the lesson gives an overview of construction and maintenance considerations in the repair, renovation, refurbishment of existing housing, delving into typical characteristics of refurbishment of old buildings. New construction has fallen below 1% of current inventories in most Western countries, and generally below annual production, so that older housing stock is getting more and more attention. In other words, there is a shift from new construction to renovation and the provision of services throughout the life of the home. Typical characteristics of refurbishment projects are considered. The last aspect of this lesson explores maintenance of housing in use after displacement and the importance of managing services such as cleaning public areas, regular garbage collection, and repairing damaged items in housing in pursuit of resilience and sustainability objectives.